Support for WMFE comes from Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University's worldwide campus, where highly ranked online degree programs offer the flexibility to learn what students want from wherever they are. More at erau.edu/worldwide.
But I was so much older then, I'm younger than that now.
Welcome into Growing Bolder. I'm Mark Middleton. Coming up today, we've got two middle-aged men, both successful in business and media, both divorced and both doing their very best to try to navigate the new middle age, a time that is filled with both challenge and opportunity. We're also going to catch up with one of the world's leading voices for positive aging, the host of the Age Better podcast and the author of Love Your Life. We're going to go inside the now famous Joe Dome for a visit with the best pole vaulter in the world, over 80 years old, and we'll take a ride with a woman whose life was turned upside down by a stroke until she learned about a little-known insurance benefit, Uber rides and delivery. This is Growing Bolder. All right. So if you feel like life as we know it is changing rapidly, you are absolutely right. Something very interesting and yet very profound is happening that's having a dramatic impact on adults of all ages. Rapidly changing demographics are now resulting in the creation of new life stages and the expansion of established life stages, and that is resulting in many new opportunities but also many new challenges. And here's just a few of the numbers. The trends that are driving all of this change. Life expectancy at birth back in 1924 in this country was 53 years old. 100 years later, it is now about 80 years. And the fastest growing segment of our population is people over the age of 85. And 50% of all children who have been born since 2000 are now projected to live to be 100 years old. And this expansion of our lives is changing how we live at every stage of our lives. Traditionally, 18 or 21 years old marked the beginning of adulthood. Today, it's mid-20s into early 30s, and that's created a new life stage that some are now calling emerging adulthood. And forget about the gap year. There's now, for many, a gap decade. A new life stage that's filled with travel and exploration, additional education, avoiding or delaying typical adult responsibilities. And as we read about almost every week now, many young adults are now living with their parents and relying on them financially into their 30s, far more than have done that in previous generations. And finding a partner and establishing your own household is also being delayed. In fact, more than half of all young Americans don't have a partner by their mid-30s. Single-person households are now the fastest-growing living arrangement in the U.S. In fact, 29% of households are now households of one, which is up from 18% in 1970. And in major metropolitan areas, it's even a larger percentage of people who are living alone. In fact, it's much larger, nearly 50% in Washington, D.C., in St. Louis, in Minneapolis, in San Francisco, and many others. And how about this? The highest divorce rate is now among couples older than 50, and the fastest growing age group in the labor force is 75 and older. In fact, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, the number of people 75 and older in the workplace is expected to grow by 96.5% by 2030. And of course, some of us work because we have to, and others because we want to. And all of these statistics underscore the fact that we all need help navigating these new and expanded life stages. Emerging adults, middle-aged and older, we all need help preparing for what's next in our life. And one of the keys to success in any of these new life stages is a growing, bolder attitude. We got to have a willingness to take risks, to confront stereotypes, and to redefine traditional roles. We have to think outside the box. We have to ask ourselves some pretty tough questions, and we have to be honest with ourselves. And our guests today are a couple of very interesting guys who are quickly becoming go-to thought leaders on navigating this new middle age. Josh Mora and Dennis Williams both have extensive, successful business and media backgrounds, and their current passion project is as co-founders and host of the Back Nine podcast, where they tackle the challenging issues that confront both men and women who are either in or approaching midlife. And their guest list includes celebrities and therapists, life coaches, sports stars, ordinary people, all of them sharing important insights on career change, healing from divorce, living alone, finding new partners, facing our fears, and of course, embracing the many new possibilities. All right, let's get with it as Josh Mora and Dennis Williams join us now. Welcome to Growing Bolder. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great. Thank you so much.
What does the back nine mean in the context of your show?
Well, yeah, so the back nine, right, if you're a golfer, the back nine is your second nine. And so the idea here is to address in middle age the challenges that we face and the opportunities that are available for us in the second half of life. And we get to this point, we don't know if we're on the 10th hole or if we're coming up on the 17th or the 18th hole, right? Some things in life are still random. And so the idea is to address those topics by having people share their stories of going through second career changes or going through divorce, both of which are things that Dennis and I have done, and looking at those opportunities, how to make our lives better, how to fulfill the things that we want to do. The idea is that, you know, guys at this stage of our lives, we don't often talk about these things. And when we do, we don't talk about them in public, certainly. And so the idea is to share these stories and to share the experiences and help guys feel comfortable talking about them. All of us are facing these kinds of questions as we make the turn into the second half of our lives. How do we have deeper connections? How do we have better relationships? How do we make the most of our professional situations? How are we helping our children? And so on.
So how has middle age changed? And is there such a thing as a midlife crisis? Because I know for people my parents' age and many my age, a midlife crisis was we lost confidence. We thought it was too late. We thought we were no longer attractive. We wanted to buy a red Corvette and we wanted to get a new relationship. Is there a midlife crisis? And if so, what's it like today?
You know, it's a really well-phrased question, Mark. I don't know that I would use the word crisis anymore. I think people are looking at it as midlife opportunities. And all of the statistics that you provided at the beginning of the show, in the intro, I think further emphasize that, right? We have much longer in our pathway through life. And so we get to certain points and we say, okay, where am I? How can I be better? What are my interests? Am I listening to myself? Am I walking my own true spiritual path? And by that, it can mean spirituality, but it's really more about, am I connecting with the things that are important to me? My relationships, my purpose, what I'm producing as a professional or on my own, all of those things. I can tell you that there were a couple of different motivating moments for me. One of which was when my dad was at his 50th college reunion. A year later, I was at my 25th. And he was telling the story of how, at his 50th, when everybody was in their early to mid 70s, they had felt like they had lived their lives, right? Most of them were retired. Their children or their grandchildren their children were certainly through college. Their grandchildren were now going into college. And at the same time, when I went to my reunion, they had asked us a question to fill out a book. And the question was, well, what did you do with your first 25 years out of college? And I, having just heard all of this from my father, kind of pivoted the question the other way. I said, I don't think that's the right question. The question is, what are we going to do with the next 25 years? Because that's the opportunity that's in front of us. And to some degree, that's what the podcast, The Back Nine, hopes to address.
You guys are both middle-aged guys, and I know one of your episodes was about modern manhood, avoiding toxic bravado, but still living with strength and courage. What is modern manhood?
So I think there's a movement towards a little bit of emotional maturity. Like, men are realizing that that's important to them, like that they can be vulnerable and those kinds of things. I think those things are happening, and still be a man, still be, have that toughness, be a leader and those kinds of things. But I think what we focus on is emotional maturity.
And if I can build on that, I think that's right. I think the idea is to get away from toxic masculinity and more towards grounded masculinity. There's an image out there that the alpha male is somebody who's always out front with his chest way out and speaks and kind of bloviates, and he commands a presence. And maybe there's kind of a take no prisoners kind of attitude that can lead to bullying in some ways. And I shouldn't speak for Dennis, but I'm pretty sure I do here. I know that I think that what grounded masculinity is really being comfortable with oneself, knowing what one wants, knowing where one's boundaries are, knowing how to say, thanks, but that's not for me. Or knowing where to say, hey, that violates my principles. You need to stop and back down, as opposed to always looking for a fight or a conflict or coming at it from a position of, you know, don't you cross me. That's false bravado. Someone who's truly comfortable with themselves is able to express their wants, their desires, their needs, their position articulately and calmly. And that's what we're trying to help serve. And we get there by having these discussions, talking about what's important, working on our own personal development.
Yeah, I think it's confident and not cocky. Like you hear that yes. a lot, right? I think men can be confident without being cocky. And that's really the difference. This is not a weakness. Josh and I have talked a lot about that. It's not a weakness to be emotionally intelligent. It's actually a strength. It shows a confidence that a lot of men don't have. And it separates you from, I guess, the competition, for lack of a better term, when you're out there, especially in the dating pool. And we talk a little bit about that too, you know, what kind of men are attracted to women in the dating pool in the second half of life when you're reinvested into that world, which some of us have happened.
We're talking with Dennis Williams and Josh Mora today, who have a fascinating podcast called The Back Nine. And, you know, just listening to you guys talk and understanding what you talk about, it is unique because women talk about these things all the time. You know, they get together and share their thoughts, their frustrations, their insecurities, and you don't hear a couple of men talking about it much at all. It's been viewed as a sign of weakness. I would think, and I know, Josh, you mentioned you guys are both divorced. What's it like out there?
Oh, I wish I knew I could tell you what it's like, Mark. So I got divorced 7 years ago, 6.5 years ago, separated officially 7 years ago, and found it really interesting to be out on the dating scene, you know, in my mid-40s at the time, you know, so different from when I was last dating, you know, in my, you know, mid to late 20s before I got married. And what I found was, you know, to your point, that women were not looking for the same kind of thing in their middle age as they were when they were much, much younger. And that, you know, I think there are a lot of guys who, when they first get back into the dating pool, they immediately think, I want to go date, you know, women in their 20s. Of course, it's what they knew. It's when they last dated. And that there was an incredible pool of women that were from their late 30s to their, you know, into their early 50s, who were accomplished, grounded, successful, independent, looking for a partner, looking for someone to share their lives with, but not attracted to somebody who was not emotionally stable. And so, you know, learning how to discover that and how to find that stability, to work through, you know, various traumas from my past trauma, lowercase t trauma, including a divorce, et cetera, was really enlightening and helped, you know, it helped by dating in that time frame and in that window. It helped me discover a lot about the kind of person that I really wanted to be in my middle age and then into the back nine.
Yeah. Can I just say that I was about, 46 or 47 when I went through my divorce. So it was about 7 years ago. I actually went into, I'm not going to call it depression, but I went into like exactly what you said at the beginning of the show, which was, I'm done. I'm too old. Nobody's going to be attracted to me. I really went through that. Like, I didn't think anything. And I had a friend tell me, and I've actually used this with other friends. I had a friend tell me, he goes, you're a unicorn. And I said, unicorn? He goes, yeah, man, when you see the dating pool, you're not going to realize, like, you have a job, you have your together, right? Like, you're not going to believe it. And so I got out there, and I'm not trying to be boastful, but I got out there and I was like, yeah. And it's amazing the confidence that gives you when you realize that you do have a lot to offer still. And I think that's part of why this show came together, because Josh and I went through this at the same time and we were helping give each other the confidence to get back out there and be ourselves and be our best version of ourselves. Because here's the thing, like, you go through a divorce and you can say, Josh and I joke, well, it was, you know, 100% her. Well, it wasn't, right? Like, it could be 80% her and 20% you have to take some personal responsibility in that and to recover from that and go through that and then realize what you have to offer, you actually become a better version of yourself for the next person or the next people that you date or move on with. So I feel like my fiance is getting the best version of me. That's why, you know, no hard feelings against my ex anymore, because you know what? She might not have gotten the best version, but she didn't get this version. So that's what you want to be. You want to, in that chapter, in that new chapter, become the best version of yourself. You're going to be a unicorn out there you know, in the dating world.
I think that's encouraging. And I love that, you know, to some extent, we're all, the three of us and many others, you know, we're peddling optimism. We're peddling hope. And if a couple of unicorns like yourself, you know, readily admit that you were on your heels and that you had self-doubt and that you were able to keep moving forward, you know, that's a lesson that people, I think, in their middle age need to hear and understand more than anybody, because I'm sure you guys have read about the U-curve of happiness. Research shows that life satisfaction drops during midlife. We're the unhappiest when we're in midlife, and then it begins to recover around age 50, and we're at our peak of happiness toward the end of our life. We get happier as we get older beyond the age of 50. So you guys are out there, you know, dealing with people that have a lot of concerns. I know there's a lot of loneliness out there. You know, what is your mission? I mean, when you get right down to it, what are you trying to do?
I think we're trying to create a community. Right. Like we're trying to create a community so that we can help people. Because here's the thing. You just said something really powerful. I wouldn't have gotten through that. I didn't just get through it myself. I got through it because I had a community of people around me, people like Josh Mora and other friends and family, and that I could talk to about this stuff. So if we can help a few people by creating this community of people that can listen to the things that we're talking about now or we talk about on our show, then we'll have succeeded.
And it's because it is so easy when you're going through something that is difficult at this stage in life to feel like you're not only alone in the moment, but that you're the only person that's ever gone through anything like this. And so the idea is to remind guys, because it's very natural for women to be able to talk about this stuff. For guys, it's a lot harder. When it comes out, it tends to come out in a rage or in a complaint. And there is a very healthy way to approach this, which will make the guy healthier and happier in the long run.
There's a lot of natural connective tissue between what we're doing and what you guys are doing. And one of the things I love about what you are doing is that you are pretty much telling younger adults what we're telling older adults. I mean, we say all the time, it's never too late, but you know, just between us, of course, it does get to be too late for some things and for everything. The sooner we start, the better off we are. The sooner we start taking care of ourselves, the sooner we start saying yes to life, the sooner we start thinking about our legacy, you know, the better. One of the most important keys to successful aging is to start early. And these issues, topics on the mind of middle-aged adults today, you know, it's important to have guys like you addressing them. You know, what are the biggest concerns, the biggest issues, the biggest fears of middle-aged adults?
Well, I think it's manifold. I think one is certainly right. You start with physical health, right? Because it's really important. You know, I always want to be that guy who at 75 years old, you know, the other grandparents are like, oh, who's that guy with his grandkid? He's in great shape. And at some point around the time I turned 50, I realized, you know, I'm no longer competing with my 25-year-old self. I'm competing with my 75-year-old self. And so how do I work out differently? How do I know that I'm happy when I have a great sweat or when I feel like my body is in good shape and I'm comfortable with how my clothes fit? That's a big part of confidence, and it's a big part of paving the way towards health into the second half of our lives, into the back nine of our lives. You know, it's also, for me, it's about finding, you know, being comfortable with the stuff that is uncomfortable. That's where we grow. You know, finding the time to sit with our issues, our aspirations in quiet, whether that quiet is in meditation or whether it's on a hike or on a canoe or a kayak somewhere on the water in nature, finding that stillness, finding that ability to put all the noise aside and focus on what's really, really important to us. Those are some of the big challenges that I think help us find our way to happiness in the back nine.
You know, I've said many times, one of the greatest blessings of doing what I do is learning from the people whose stories we tell. And it has impacted my life in many, many ways. And, you know, it's obvious what you guys are doing is sharing life lessons. So let me ask each of you as we wrap this up, you know, what's the moral of the story? What are the biggest or maybe the most important life lessons that you guys have learned so far? What's the takeaway from your time on the back nine?
Well, I'll start because I have a mantra that is start at yes. And I came to that right after my divorce. I was a start at no, sell me on yes, a person. I can't do that because of this. I can't do that. I can't go on that trip because of this. I realized that there's no reason not to start at yes. You may get to no, you may be sold down the road on no, because it's the yes is impossible. But I think the way I approach my life now is start at yes. I get invited to something, I'm like, yes, I might not always go, but I can tell you that it has changed my life just in so many ways. You know, if I didn't have that start at yes mantra, there are so many things that wouldn't be in my life right now.
And before we get to Josh, if I can, Josh, let me just tag on that real quickly, because once again, there's this connective tissue. You know, one of our mantras is just say yes, because, you know, as you get older, yes is the breath of life and no is the kiss of death. If you say no enough, you will end up on the couch alone, unhappy and doing little things. If you say yes enough, you will be led to new experiences, new people, new opportunities in a life you could never imagine. So, Dennis Williams, I'm with you on that one. Let's see what Josh Moore has got for us.
Yeah, and I am too, you know, especially for anything that's new or exploring or something you might not think that you'd have been interested in the first place. The one caveat to that is there's a time when you can say no, when you know something really isn't good for you or in your alignment, because that just leads to resentment. And so knowing your boundaries, knowing your values and living to those to the fullest is really important. Translating those and making sure that people are aware of what those are when somebody has crossed you, to say, that doesn't work for me, can we do this instead? Or, you know, that's not really something I'm interested, but I'd love to go get a cup of coffee with you in a different way. Because saying no to that no leads to other yeses. And that's where that comes in. So I think the idea is to understand yourself and to do for you, do for Mark, do for Dennis, do for audience, do for Josh. That's not selfish. It is important because it helps you be, now you don't do that in a way that is, you know, consciously hurtful towards somebody else. But when you know that something isn't right for you, to be able to say that doesn't work, when you know what your values are and say, I'd like to do this, please come with me, I'd like you to join me, that is a pathway to happiness and living a fulfilled and purposeful life.
It is never too late to prepare for a happy, healthy, and meaningful older age. And of course, it's never too soon to start. Life is difficult, but it can be a beautiful struggle if you learn to roll with the punches and keep moving forward. Our thanks to Josh Mora and Dennis Williams. Their podcast is The Back Nine, available on Apple, Spotify, and other podcast platforms. All right, up next, the notorious BHG, Barbara Hannah Grufferman. This is Growing Bolder.
Support for Growing Bolder provided by...
If you or a loved one are over 65 and need a ride, check out Uber. Many Medicare Advantage Flex cards help cover the cost of Uber rides to appointments and important deliveries with Uber Eats like groceries and over-the-counter medication. Learn more at uberhealth.com/card or call 1-866-827-4584. Welcome back to Growing Bolder. Barbara Hannah Grufferman is one of the world's leading voices for positive aging. She's the host of the Age Better podcast, the author of Love Your Life. She's a marathoner, a bone health ambassador for the National Osteoporosis Foundation. You've seen her on national networks, and she joins us now. Barbara, you've been preaching from the book of Bolder, if you will, for a very long time. In your estimation, is the culture of aging finally changing? Are people starting to realize the opportunity of aging instead of just focusing on the challenges?
Hey, Mark, thank you so much for having me on. First of all, it's always a pleasure to see you. And yeah, let's talk about that. I mean, I do think it's heading in the right direction. Let's put it that way. And when my first book came out in 2010, I was just a lone voice in the wilderness. Nobody was talking about positive aging because they thought, hey, there's nothing positive about it. So why call it positive aging? And that was the book I was looking for, because I hit 50 and I said, oh my gosh, what do I do now? Surely there's a book for me explaining, you know, what I do and how I work out and what I eat and so on and so forth. And really all I could find at that time was, how do you fight aging? Here's how you fight aging, like don't age. And here's everything you need, like a guidebook for not aging. And so I said, all right, so let's write the book. And that's what I did. Since then, I mean, it has been a number of years. thanks to organizations like yours, Mark, you know, Growing Boulder, and just all the different books that have come out. And I really have to say, I think that one of the champions of changing the narrative around aging has been this kind of more openness about menopause. That really has helped a lot. In the last few years, there have been a slew of celebrities talking about menopause and women's health. And I really think that that's helped a lot because, well, you kind of have to put aging and menopause in the same little box because they are connected in some way. So that's been a really good thing. So as I said, it's not really been a sea change, but it really has been a few steps in the right direction. And I think that with all of our voices, Mark, your voice and everybody else at Growing Boulder and all the great content that you do, and you know what I do, what other people have been doing, and the new websites that have come out and the podcasts that have come out, all of these together are really helping people to have a new appreciation for aging and aging better.
And it seems to me, Barbara, and correct me if I'm wrong, because your message resonates with everybody, you know, regardless of age, gender, you know, any sort of thing. But it does, I know there are men out there, and you've had Chip Conley on your podcast and Ken Dykewald, and there's others out there. There's thought leaders out there, you know, that get it and they're doing their thing. It seems to me, if you will, the rank and file, it's women. It's women who are most responsive, most receptive to this idea that I will not go gentle into that good night, paraphrasing Dylan Thomas, I think. It seems like women are, as a group, and I know that's a exaggeration, but is it true that women really, really want to continue how to burn it all down, how to want to extract every bit of joy out of their life for as long as they can?
You're so right about that, Mark. I couldn't agree more. And in fact, that was a similar question I asked Chip Conley. You mentioned him when I had him as a guest on the show. I mean, I really felt that, you know, his messaging is really in many ways a little more geared to helping men appreciate getting older. And I really applaud that too. But you are right. I think it's women for sure who are pushing this forward. And I really have to say, I think it's because we've had enough. We've had enough of being viewed in the medical community as little men. And so all the research that had been done up until recently was really just like, let's take the research we did for men and apply it to women. So no, we've had enough of that. We've had enough of shoving menopause under the rug. No, we don't want to do that anymore. So you kind of put all of this together. It's like we're really out there fighting for no, and we're okay with aging. So what are you telling us? We have to, you know, fight sexism and ageism in the workplace, which is a reality, unfortunately. So no, we are really, really out there fighting the good fight and really trying to push the envelope and really trying to push the conversation forward and to make it all a much more positive thing. And we want everyone talking about it. We want not only we women talking about it, we want men talking about it because it affects everyone. We want our children talking about it, our coworkers talking about it, because if we open up the conversation and everyone is comfortable, if it's normalized for everyone, well, then that's how you move things forward. You can't move things forward if you're kind of stuck in how you talk about things. So I'm really very optimistic, really optimistic.
I pushed the right Barbara Hannah Grufferman button, and I'm glad I did. You know, thank you for that. I totally agree. You can't change the culture if you don't change the conversation. And there are so many things that people don't want to talk about. So let me throw this out there, because you have been a voice that wants to talk about menopause. You have been a voice that wants to talk about osteoporosis. Growing Boulder has a new initiative that we'll be rolling out very soon. It doesn't just talk about brain health, which is something palatable to most everybody. We're talking about Alzheimer's and dementia. We're talking about the fact that 97% of the people who have mild cognitive impairment don't know it and they don't want to know it, despite the fact that there's new drugs out there, there are new treatments out there that can detect the presence of Alzheimer's 20 years before any of the symptoms occur. And we're killing ourselves by not being willing to have this conversation. In the circles that you run in, Barbara, is this an issue? Are more and more people finally talking about brain health, willing to try to destigmatize that diagnosis?
I'm so glad that you're focusing on this, Mark, as an organization. It is so important, as we know. It's a major issue among people who are aging in this country. And we now know there are ways that we can prevent, not all forms of dementia, not all forms of Alzheimer's, but there are certain forms that we can, in fact, prevent. We know that, or slow it down considerably, whether usually starting with lifestyle changes, which is why, as I pointed out many times, I am so focused on having people take control of their physical well-being and doing everything that they can to, you know, to really focus on their health and moving their bodies more and all that, because it ties directly into our brain health. There is science that backs that up. We, you know, so much great science from the last 10 years, certainly in the last 5 years. And anytime you've got an issue that is connected to aging, and you named a few, bone health or osteoporosis, and even menopause, they're connected to aging. And people don't want to talk about aging. They don't want to talk about getting older. And so when you've got these diseases and health issues that are connected to getting older, usually, not always, of course, you know, they don't want to think about it. And that is a really big concern. And that's why I can get pretty darn annoying when I'm out there with my podcast or writing whatever it is I'm writing, where I do nag people. I sometimes like to say, okay, everyone, heads up. Here's some new research. Nag alert. I mean, I let them know up front, yes, I am nagging you to focus on this, because this will help you to either slow something down or prevent something outright. And yes, there are also medications out there. There's something else, too, that I find really fascinating. And one example I'd like to use is statins. Statins is like a miracle drug. From everything I have read, from every expert I have interviewed, statins are like a bit like a silver bullet, which we never really thought existed. And I'm not pushing statins on anyone right now, everyone. I just don't want to, you know, please don't think that. But if you do have a medical issue that can be addressed by a statin, and statins we know do work, why in the world would you not want to consider that? And that's really true of every single health issue that we know of, that if lifestyle is just not doing it, and it's very possible because some things are genetic, most are lifestyle, many are genetic, and if there is a medication that can help you, for goodness sakes, discuss it with your trusted healthcare provider. I don't really get that. So in summary, Mark, it's like these health issues that people don't want to focus on because they're kind of equated with aging. So that's why it's so important for like what Growing Bolder is doing, what I'm doing, what others are out there in this field doing to try to make it a positive discussion about aging. Because if we can push that forward, I think that people will be more open to talking about and thinking about some of these health issues that are related to aging.
So well said, Barbara. You know, there's no question that older adults need tough love. And if the messenger doesn't deliver it properly, they don't pay attention. And that's really what I've liked about you from the beginning, because, you know, like you say, you can nag. But even when you're nagging, there is still the positivity and the passion in your voice. There's still optimism in your voice while you're scolding somebody for not doing what they should do. And you know, we need more voices like that. So, you know, you're a lifelong learner. I think that's one of the exciting things about Growing Bolder is you never stop learning cool stuff. What is the moral of the story, Barbara Hannah Grufferman? What have you learned personally along the way that excites you? What's the message that we all should know about life in general?
Okay, it's so funny. And I thank you so much for saying that, that you kind of view me as a lifelong learner. And I agree with you. And I never realized that about myself until I started, you know, made the decision to write my first book. And then, you know, you have to do research to do that. And then everything I've been doing since then, and certainly now with the weekly podcast, I mean, the weekly podcast is a lot of work. You have to really, what is the topic going to be? Well, who's the guest going to be? Is it really relevant to your audience? And so I learn something new every single week when I have a guest on the show. And that is what brings me such joy. And to be able to share it with other people, that brings me even greater joy. So not only am I, you know, having all this joy from learning something, but being able to share it. So I feel like I am in such a wonderful position. And I really am so grateful for that opportunity. And I really hope and plan on doing this for as long as possible. But one thing that's really interesting about me being the lifelong learner is that every morning, and I have a routine, I think that's part of at least my happiness, is having a bit of a routine. So you kind of know what you're getting into every day, but knowing that life will have a lot of, and the day will have a lot of twists and turns, because that, of course, you do too. But I scour the medical journals that I get emailed to me every single morning with my first cup of coffee. And as soon as I see a new piece of research that I know is important to this demo, the 60 and over, or 50 and over, 65 and over demo, I get on it immediately and I try to get directly to that lead author of that study, a medical expert. And wow, the joy I have when I've made that connection and that person, usually I've been very lucky, says yes. And that is what brings me such joy. That is my true purpose in life now and my mission in life now.
Well, we are all better for it, Barbara. Thank you. Her podcast, again, is called Age Better with Barbara Hannah Grufferman. Her website is Barbara Hannah, that's H-A-N-N-A-H, Grufferman, G-R-U-F-F-E-R-M-A-N.com. Check her out. Subscribe to her podcast and follow her on Instagram. Up next, he recently won the world championship in both the hurdles and the pole vault in the 80 to 84-year-old age group. We're taking a field trip to visit the amazing Jumpin' Joe Johnston. This is Growing Bolder.
Sign up for the Growing Bolder Insider newsletter, delivered to your inbox every week. Be the first to see our latest interviews, stories, and tips for making each day count. Sign up today at growingbolder.com. Miss an episode of Growing Bolder Radio? Subscribe to our podcast and get it on your mobile device. Details at growingbolder.com/podcasts.
Welcome back to Growing Bolder. I'm Mark Middleton. Joe Johnston is the best pole vaulter in the world over the age of 80 years old. And I recently visited Joe and his wife, Janet, at their home in Central Florida, which, by the way, features an indoor pole vaulting and training facility. It's been a productive few weeks for Joe Johnston. At 81 years old, he's won the U.S. National Championship and the World Championship in pole vaulting and the world championship in the 60-meter hurdles. How does it feel to be sitting here in the aftermath of winning multiple national championships and multiple world championships?
It feels pretty good to be the best 80-year-old pole vaulter in the world. It was just fun. It's just fun. I do it because I can't think anything I'd rather do unless it'd be hang gliding or jumping off the mountain in Chamonix, but it's just fun.
When we last visited Joe, he was 67.
By golly, that one's good.
And spent most days having fun in the Joe Dome, a handmade pole barn where he pursued his passion for pole vaulting. Fast forward 14 years, and the old Joe Dome has been replaced with the new Joe Dome, a 5,000-square-foot addition that he added onto his home in his late 70s.
And I said, I think I could borrow that much money. And so we got a big mortgage, and here it is, and this is my dream come true.
Joe's enjoying the front page coverage in his local newspaper, but only because it inspires the thousands of former students he taught and coached for decades in Apopka, Florida. He doesn't compete for the acclaim, and he doesn't do it for the medals.
What are you going to do with these national championship, world championship medals?
I'm probably going to put them in that jar over there. And when we had a meet here, a meet, you know, there's six or eight ladies and kids. And I said, when you finish the meet, go over and get you two or three of those and take them home with you. So we'll put them in the jar and let some kids have them. They like them.
If he's not vaulting or hurdling himself, Joe is coaching boys and girls of all ages for free, his unique way of welcoming and serving anyone and everyone.
Why do you do that, and what do you get out of it?
I get everything out of it. As a teacher, you know, that's what you do. You try to help kids grow up to be good adults, and it warms your heart. You know, you feel like you're worth something on this earth. It's a good feeling.
The most important lesson Joe teaches these days is resilience.
We were videotaping you 10 minutes ago. You hit a hurdle. You fell down. There was a moment we thought you might have broken something, but within 5 minutes you were back up hurdling again. So why did you get back up and go again?
I don't know why, Mark. I just do. I ain't stopping. I'm going to attack. I may get splattered. I've been splattered before. I'll get up again and go again. Hurdles is life, because you've got to go. I want to get from here to there faster than everybody else. Oh, wait, we got these things in the way here. There's barriers that we have to overcome, just like life. So if you can learn to negotiate those barriers, you can be successful.
He's already looking for the next thing.
Bring it on.
Joe's wife, Janet, is his biggest fan and enjoys her front row seat to the force that is Joe Johnston.
He's contagious, his energy, and, you know, people want to do that, and he does inspire people. And I always feel like I need to find the next thing, or we need to walk, or we need to swim, or we, you know, every day he'll be like, let's go swimming in the rain and the thunder. We say we're having more fun than we can handle lots of days. We need parents to say this is too much.
As he's aged, Joe's learned to appreciate a story that his uncle once shared.
He says, yeah, man, some days I get up, I feel like I go outside and whoop two big bear. He said, time I get the door, I got to sit down. I said, oh, I got to watch out for that if that's what's coming. So I'm watching out for that. I get up in the morning and I'm going to go. If you keep moving, you can keep moving.
I think a lot of 81-year-olds think their life is behind them. I sense that you don't feel that.
Oh, no, I'm going to go all the way to the end. I'm taking it wide open all the way to the end.
The Joe Dome is Joe's happy place, an indoor playground that fuels his passion and provides his purpose. 5,000 square feet filled with hope, inspiration, and possibility.
So live long enough, your dreams can come true.
Wide open all the way to the end. I love that. Joe is a living example of the power of prehabilitation, preparing for life's challenges and resilience, bouncing back from them. His mantra is this: if you want to keep moving, you have to keep moving. Up next, we're calling an Uber and getting a prescription for active longevity from a global thought leader in fitness, nutrition, and metabolism. This is Growing Bolder. We've got news. Watch.growingbolder.com, the world's first streaming site for active adults, is now live. Growing Bolder TV shows, national specials, documentaries, and inspiring videos on ordinary people living extraordinary lives 24/7 on demand for free. Watch.growingbolder.com is now live. Welcome back to Growing Boulder. You know, as we age, having the ability to get around becomes more important and at times more difficult than ever. When Lynn Fitzgerald had a stroke and required extensive physical therapy, not only her life, but also her husband's life was upended until her doctor told her something about an insurance benefit she never knew existed.
I retired when I had the stroke. I was still working as the nanny for my daughter and the three grandkids. So when I had the stroke, that was it. Went in the hospital for 3 weeks, therapy, came home and had in-house therapy, and then I started to go outside therapy. But it took all day for my husband because he had to drive me there, 40 minutes there and wait 2 hours and then 40 minutes back. I didn't know that it was available to use Uber to get to the doctors until I did have a doctor's appointment. She asked me, do you want a ride? Do you need a ride? I said, oh, how do I do that? And she says, we will call you a ride with Uber. I said, oh, okay, that's great. It's very convenient. And I didn't know it was available, and I don't pay for it. It's covered in my insurance. So we started to use Uber. I use it for my doctor visits. They'll pick me up. They'll take me home from the office, and I use it to go to therapy twice a week. The medication is right in the doctor's office. I just call up and order, say I'm low on this, and they fill it, and I can get it delivered. They'll deliver it by Uber, delivery service, or I can pick it up. And it's helped mainly for Michael, my husband, to have some freedom. The app is very easy to use, and it does show the ride coming. It tells you the car, what the driver's name is. So I wait, and they pull up, and they'll say, are you Lynn? As soon as they see I have the walker, they get out, they open the trunk, they help get in the car, and they'll put it in the trunk. Yes, it's convenient, and you feel safe. And when I would say to my daughter, text her, I'm on my way to therapy in an Uber. Why are you taking an Uber? You have to pay for that. I said, no, it's covered in my insurance. You know, she's like, oh, wow. We've been very dedicated to taking care of the grandkids. So every Saturday night we babysit for them just about. It's wonderful. You know, they bring such joy and they get so excited. Nanny, nanny, pop, pop, you know, pop's here. Come on, pop, let's play. You have to stay positive and you do have to keep moving. It's easy to sit on the couch and just put the remote in your hand and click away.
Once again, folks, you have to keep moving. To learn how your Medicare Advantage health benefits can be used for qualifying Uber rides and deliveries, visit uberhealth.com. Time to bring in the good doctor, because there are very few who know more about the importance of moving as we age than Dr. Pamela Peek. She's not only a physician and a scientist, she's a best-selling author and a competitive athlete who has studied other athletes.
Hey there. It's so good to see you again. Can't wait to talk about some of my favorite topics.
Yeah, you're always inspiring. And you've been saying it for decades, Dr. Peek, but there now seems to be finally universal agreement in the healthcare field that exercise is, in fact, the number one form of preventative medicine. Give us the elevator pitch about what exercise does for us, especially as we age.
Okay, look, it's not even exercise. It's physical activity. Just get up and move, for crying out loud. A lot of times the E word, you know, turns people off. It's like, oh my God, I got to join the Olympics. Well, no, just get up and move. You want to grow a bigger brain? You actually grow new neural networks up there. Who doesn't want a bigger brain as you get older? And then the other piece of it is heart disease, diabetes, cancer. All of these risks decrease precipitously if you get up, assume the vertical, and start moving. Just get out there and do that. You know, I was part of a study that I helped pull together with the American College of Sports Medicine. You know, 10 years ago, what we did was we looked at fitness age. We found that the average age of the people in the National Senior Games was 68 years of age, but their fitness age was actually 25 years younger. So if you want to chop off a quarter of a century, hello, Fountain of Youth, then all you have to do is get up and rock and roll.
Dr. Peek, if exercise, if physical activity is the number one form of preventative medicine, Social connection with those who actually inspire and support and encourage us has to be close behind. What's the latest on the benefits of the importance of the kind of connection that we find in the senior games?
Well, you're going to be surprised to learn that it's not close behind. It's either equal to or greater, for crying out loud. When you have social connection, what you're doing is you're actually helping to uplift your mental cognitive performance in a huge way. You give your life meaning and purpose when you connect with other people. And the thing that I absolutely love, studies now show that of all the things you could do in your life, connecting with others on a deep and meaningful level, especially having fun, you know, uplifting other people, being of service, all of these things are integral to optimal longevity.
Thank you, Dr. Peek. Her work and the example of older adults who are able to bounce back from health setbacks continue to prove, not just to all of us, but to the healthcare system in general, that prevention is the key, and we all have more control over how we age than we realize. Who is your primary care provider? You are. That's Growing Bolder. We'll see you next time.